So I'll read number text 41 and onwards, then we'll read today's verse as well. So this is the translation. So Bari Muni thought, I am now feeble because of old age. My hair has become grey, my skin is slack, my head always trembles. Besides, I am a yogi. Therefore, women do not like me. Since the king has rejected me, I shall reform my body in such a way as to be desirable even to the celestial women. What to speak of the daughters of the worldly kings? Number 43. Thereafter, when Sorabari Muni became quite a young and beautiful person, the messenger of the palace took him inside the residential quarters of the princesses, which were extremely opulent. All 50 princesses then accepted him as their husband, although he was only one man. Thereafter, the princesses became, being attracted by Sobhara Muni, gave up their sincere sisterly relationship and quarreled amongst themselves, each one of them contending, this man is just suitable for me, not for you. In this way, they ensured a great disagreement. And today's verse, because Sobhara Muni was expert in chanting perfectly, his severe austerities resulted in an opulent home with garments, ornaments, properly dressed and decorated, maid servants, manservants, and varieties of parks with clear water, lakes, and gardens. In the gardens, fragrant with varieties of flowers, birds chirping, bees hummed, surrounded by professional singers, Sobhara Muni's home was amply provided with valuable beds, seats, ornaments, and arrangements for bathing, and there were varieties of sandalwood creams, flower garlands, and palatable dishes. Thus surrounded by opulent paraphernalia, the Muni engaged in family affairs with his numerous wives. Translation was by Srila Prabhupada, and the purport is by Srila Prabhupada also. Sobhara Muni Rishi was a great yogi. Yogic perfection makes available 8 material opulences: anima, laghima, mahima, prapti, prakamaya, ishvatva, vashitva, and kamasvayita. Sobhari Muni exhibited super excellence in material enjoyment by the dint of his yogic perfection. The word bhava means expert in chanting mantras. As material opulences can be achieved by ordinary material means, it can also be achieved by subtle means through mantras. By chanting mantras, Sobhara Muni arranged for material opulence, but this was not the perfection of his life. As will be seen, Sobhara Muni became very dissatisfied with material opulence and thus left everything and entered the forest in the Vanaprastha order and achieved final success. Those who are not Atma Tattva Vit, who do not know the spiritual value of life, can be satisfied with external material opulence. But those who are Atma Tattva Vit are not inspired by material opulence. This is the instruction we can derive from the life and the activities of Sobhari Muni. Om Jnana Timarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militan Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vidanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesa sunyavadi paschacha desatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So taking the permission of all the Vaishnavas to say a few words, to sit on this seat, it's a great honor. One has to be properly be qualified to speak words from this particular seat, and I humbly ask for your blessings. Wouldn't it be wonderful if, like this Rishi, if you're getting old, those of us getting old, we're feeling the pangs of old age, jara. It is explained that his skin was very, very slack. He didn't look very, very attractive. His body was trembling. But by the dint of his yogic power, he could transform himself. It is said that when one performs austerities, when one refrains from certain sensual pleasure, then one derives certain amount of power or tejas. And as we know, the Rishi had performed great austerity. He was underwater performing severe austerity. And as he performed these austerities, he was getting more and more and more powerful. So, unfortunately, he saw a couple of fishes mating, and then that broke his meditation. So you can just imagine, he's there in deep meditation, the yogis, they have their eyes half closed so that they don't get too distracted. But even in that half-closed state of being, unfortunately, he managed to see something that distracted his mind. So Maya is very, very powerful. We should not underestimate the power of Maya. When we're on the path of devotional service, it is so easy to be distracted from the goal. It is so easy to fall to the side. Been trying to be a devotee for many, many years. I've seen so many devotees come and go, take up devotional service. They get really enthusiastic. But if we're not very, very vigilant, then we can easily be distracted. So in this situation, even though the Muni was performing these austerities, he got easily distracted. This also reminds us of another story from the Ramayana, of another Rishi who also got easily distracted from his meditation, and that was Vishwamitra. And Vishwamitra, when he was in deep meditation, he didn't even have to visually see the sense pleasure. You don't necessarily have to just behold with your eyes to be attracted. We have all other different senses. So what was Vishwamitra's downfall? How did he become distracted? Sorry? Through hearing. He heard the ankle bells of Menaka. It is said that this ankle bells was heard by Vishwamitra, and it came into his ears and it distracted him. And then he saw the beauty of Menaka. So in the same way, this Rishi, although he was trying to perfect his life through yoga, there are different ways people can perfect their spiritual life. So he went through this process of yoga. And then he got distracted. And then material desires, which weren't properly dealt with, they came out and showed its ugly face. So again, when we are performing spiritual life, we might think that by chanting, we are subduing our desires. We think that we are in control of a certain situation. But it takes a particular situation that might just be your weak point. And if we're not vigilant, that weak point, when pushed, we will be affected by it. For some, it might not be women. For some, it might not be money. For some, it might not be whatever might affect someone else. But we have to be careful. We all have our weak points. And then if we're not careful, then we will be affected by this, as in the case of the Rishi. And then his material desires came, and he decided that he wanted to enjoy life. And his body was very, very frail as he was performing austerities. You might have seen pictures of yogis. They're there in the forest meditating. The bodies have all shriveled up. You can see their ribs. You can see their hair. They're all matted. Their skin is all shriveled up. And if such a person were to approach a Mataji and say, "Hey, fancy marrying me?" He'll think, "Give me a break." So then that's what exactly happened to him. Now, normally, when we see someone we want to be attracted to, they must have nice features. And then that force of attraction is there. So when he was presenting himself in such a form, the ladies thought, not particularly, no. So then by his yogic powers, he transformed himself and he made himself very, very handsome. And when he went in front of those 50 young ladies, ooh la la, they became very attracted to him. A minute ago when they saw him, no way, Jose. The moment he changed his form, so this is quite interesting point over here, that we just see the external. And if we just get attracted by the external and not see the deeper person inside, then we can make wrong judgments. And from that, we can create unnecessary offense. And so in this situation, they saw him and then they all decided to marry him. Not just one, not just two, 50 of them. My God, what a brave man. Anyway, when you get married, what is the need of getting married? To have a nice, enjoyable life. And then when you take the responsibility of a wife, what does the wife want? What comes before the children? Huh? House. Graha. That's why it's called Grihastha Ashram. Graha. House. A house is very, very, very important. So it is said, because the Rishi had yogic powers, with these powers, he could immediately create a house, as is described here in the translation. Grihasthas, imagine if you could have that situation, you get married, and with your power, Jai Shishi Radha Gokula Nanda Ki, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki, Shishi Gonitai Bhagavan Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, then so much of your troubles will be solved. Grihastha life, one of the most difficult situation is to able to provide nice financially. So this Rishi managed to provide very, very nicely. So it is said that when you have these yogic powers, there are certain powers that we can have. And does anyone remember what those powers were? It was mentioned in the purport. The first one is Animha. So, I don't know about you, but I'm being honest. You know, I used to read superhero comic books. And I was like, a gutton to Spider-Man comics. Anyway, each kid, they all desire to have a certain power. And with these powers, we always feel that we want to control a certain situation or be superior. So by having these yogic powers, then you become almost like a Superman. So this power, Anima, do you know what ability one can have with this? Yeah? That's right. With this power, you can shrink yourself and become smaller than the smallest. So imagine if you can have this situation. Of course, sometimes when we have certain powers, the tendency is to try and use them for our own personal needs. So although these comics, we see the heroes always, you know, justice, truth, the American way, yeah. But actually, what would you really do if you had some powers? Would you use it for the good cause? There was, would we use it for our selfish personal needs? So this particular power, this siddhi, Anima, this makes you shrink. So who in the Shastra used this particular siddhi? Hanuman, that's right. So Hanuman, when he came to Lanka, he shrunk himself. And then he became a little monkey and he easily entered into Lanka. So that's that particular siddhi. The next one is called Laghima. And what is the... Prabhu? Not this particular one. It's a good one. It's coming up, that one. This one is to expand, to become big, to grow. Imagine if you're being bullied and there's about 50 guys over there. Normally you would just cross the street. But if you could expand, so that's an incredible power to have. Who had that particular siddhi? Hanuman, yes, again Hanuman. So when he was at the shore, and then he had to cross the ocean, then Jambavan spoke of his glories, because Hanuman had so much power. When he was a little child, he was very, very naughty, and he used to cause so much havoc with his powers. So the Rishi said, you're not ready for this power. With great power comes responsibility. Yeah? So then his power was curbed. But at the right time, in the service of Lord Ramachandra, then Jambavan sang his glories. And as he was singing his glories, he started to expand, get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And in this way, he used this. He jumped across the Lanka for the service of Lord Ram. Also, Vamanadev, he also expanded. So that's the second one. And the next one is Mahima. This is? Opposite. Heavy, yeah. So if you have this particular yogic power, you can become really, really heavy. So, who used this particular siddhi? Yeah, Prabhu? That's right. It just seems like Hanuman's perfected all this yogic power. So when he was in the forest, he was there, and then Bhima came, and he put his tail right in front of Bhima, and Bhima He was quite strong, very, very powerful, a little bit puffed up. So Hanuman, who was also Bhima's brother, they were both sons of Pavanaputra. So Hanuman decided to teach Bhima a little lesson. So then the tail came in front, and then Bhima tried to remove the tail. He tried to lift it, but Hanuman was using this particular siddhi that even the mighty Bhima could not lift Hanuman's tail. Can you imagine that? Also, we see in the case of Krishna, when Trinavata was trying to take Krishna away, so Trinavata took Krishna high, high up in the sky, and Krishna, little baby, became heavier and heavier and heavier, and bada boom, crashed to the ground. So that's another siddhi that we can have. The next one is prapti. What's prapti? Yeah, that's right. To able to materialize. Now this is a cool one to have. Imagine you can materialize whatever you wanted. So if you fancy some nice, nice som papri from Govardhan Hill, whoa, here it comes. Oh, lovely. Would you like some, Prabhu? In fact, Prabhupada said that he knew of a person who had such yogic powers. And then this yogi said, "What do you fancy? What would you like?" And this person said that, "I would like to have some pomegranates from Afghanistan." Apparently the saying is that Afghanistan has the best pomegranates. So this yogi stretched his hand out like Mr. Fantastic, got the freshly picked pomegranates and offered it to this person. So this is not something that's from the yore. This is not something from the previous ages. Even just recently, someone, if done accordingly, can obtain these powers. So if someone fancy being Superman, check it out. So that's prapti siddhi. So we have this ability to get different things and materialize things. The next one is prakmaya, that is, weightless. So you become very, very light. And when you're very, very light, you like to fly. And when you're very, very weight, the one you were saying, you can walk on the rays of the sun. Fancy that, walking on the rays of the sun. And imagine, sometimes when we have our discussion, whatever, they say, "Oh, what kind of a power would you like?" I would always say to fly. Imagine you could fly, soaring through the sky, beating all the traffic. If you want to go to India, you don't have to get Air India, just fly across. No visa. So this is that particular siddhi. Again, Hanuman used that to fly across to Lanka. Then the next one is Ishtva. Ishtva is? Anyone knows? It comes from the word ish. Icha. What is icha? Desire. That's right. So we all have desire, isn't it? Everyone likes to have desires. And desires generally means we want something. So whatever you desire, if you have this particular siddhi, then you can have it immediately. So imagine it's Govardhan Puja. There's a big queue. You don't fancy queuing up anything. "Oh, I fancy that feast, but I don't want to wait." Then you desire it and immediately it's on your lap. Not a bad siddhi to have, huh? What do you reckon? No more queuing for prasadam. Huh? Yeah, you can become smaller than the smallest and just sneak your way to the front there. Or you can expand. If there's really nice prasadam, "Well, I like to expand my stomach. I can have some more pakoras." Then the next one is Vashistva. What is Vashistva? Anyone knows? What's the general tendency of the living entity? What does he like to do? Control. Bada boom, bada boom. He likes to control. He wants to lord it over. Because he sees the Supreme Lord enjoying and being the master of everything. And because we have a minute quality, what Krishna has, we also have that tendency to lord it, to be the Lord. And who was the biggest rascal wanted to really lord over everything? Hiranyakashipu. And he had this siddhi to the perfection. He wanted to lord it over everyone. He subjugated everyone. And the last one is Kamavakshyata, which is power. That's right. The ability to create, you know. So with the prapti, you're actually not creating. This is an interesting point. You're actually stealing from somewhere else. So for example, if I wanted gold, then I would probably go to Ealing Road and just get it, and there we are. So you're not actually creating it. But with this particular siddhi, you actually can create planets. And we know from the Shastra, there was one particular yogi. Who was that yogi? He created his own heavens because one king, he was the king of the Nishadas. Huh? And then, he wanted to go to the heavenly planets, but he wanted to go in this body. So apparently the demigods, they were not so welcoming with this particular body. Visa restrictions were quite strong. Then said, go back down to the earth planet. And Vishwamitra was very furious. So with this power, he created a whole different heavenly planets. Can you imagine that power? So that was that particular power. So these are different kinds of siddhis one can have. However, the point here Prabhupada is saying is that even though he had all these powers, it sounds wonderful, it sounds great, he was dissatisfied. So as nice as it seems, as wonderful it seems to have this incredible power, they have a certain limitation because they don't give you the real happiness. So then you become dissatisfied. So although the Rishi was enjoying his life in this way, he realized with all this power, with all this Grihastha life, he became dissatisfied as the story will unfold. So, in conclusion, what I wanted to say was that one of the things that I kind of was reflecting on this particular verse and this pastime, and I was thinking what to say, was that the Rishi, he was meditating. And as he was meditating, he noticed somebody, in this case the fish, doing something, and he wanted the same thing. So the general tendency sometimes of the living entity is to want what others have. Think about it for a second. I can vouch sometimes, you know, you can see another Prabhu, another person, and they have certain amount of qualities, or they might have a certain amount of opulence, or maybe they might have a certain status quo. And sometimes that envious nature comes about that we want that same situation. So that's what happened to this yogi. He saw somebody else enjoying. He wasn't happy with his own situation, and a result of that, he was strayed away. So, the nature of the living entity is twofold: hankering and lamenting. So we're always hankering after something. From the moment we get up, we might not even realize it. From the moment we get up, we're always hankering. And from the moment we go to sleep, the last few moments of our eyes, we're flicking through our smartphone and looking what we can achieve, what we can gain. So it's always that case of trying to get something. And then what happens if we can't get it? We are lamenting. We didn't get it. So that is something that is not very, very good in our spiritual life. To see what someone else has, to see what they have, to become envious of it. These kind of things, they don't help us in our spiritual life. What is given to us, we should be happy. It's not easy. I am sitting on this seat. I am saying these words. They're coming out like a robot. But really, to have that vigyan is much, much more deeper. To be happy and be satisfied with what you are and what you have. And once you're on that platform, then it's much, much easier to practice your Krishna consciousness. There was one devotee, he had a certain addiction for kheer. He used to just love kheer. And in those days, we used to steal maha quite often. Now there's very, very heavy rules and penalty. In those days, you could steal the maha and then you can get away with it. It was all transcendental fun. So we stole this big pot of kheer. And this devotee, he loved kheer so much, he was so reluctant to share it with others. He was grudgingly didn't want to give it to others. So this is what he did, and I observed with my own eyes. He would fill the cup of kheer, and he would share it. His cup would be bigger than the others, and as he was drinking it, one eye he was watching how the others were drinking it, and the other eye, he was watching the other pot to refill his own cup. Now think about it. So this tendency of just wanting for ourselves is very, very powerful. In fact, if we just give, as hard as it might seem, then we will get much back. As you sow, so you shall reap. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.